The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Welcome to Mind Matters right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Miss Vandana Sue Sankar Ali is with us here, and we're talking about coping with grief. I tell you, what does grief feel like? And welcome, Miss Ali.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me.
All right, so the first question is, what does grief feel like?
Well, grief is that normal experience after a loss where we feel intense feelings of anguish. You know, we feel all the feelings very intensely initially, and then they eventually normalize and we transition to a place of acceptance. But of course, grief feels very different for different people. And so there may be any combination of experiences. On the emotional front, grief can feel like heavy sadness, shock, anger, resentment, guilt, anxiety, loneliness, and a longing or a yearning for that person's presence. Physically too, we can feel grief in our bodies. So we can have trouble sleeping, eating. We may feel very, very tired or have a lot of muscle aches and tension or a sense of hollowness and emptiness in your body that you actually feel. On the mental front, grief can feel like confusion, a foggy brain. You may be questioning everything, constantly replaying memories of the person or circumstances around the death. And even spiritually, we can experience grief. You know, it may cause us to wonder, why has this thing happened? You know, what about my beliefs? How can this happen to me? You may feel disconnected from the world and from a higher being. It's a really complex experience, and everyone experiences it differently. And it can come in waves, and some days feel good, and some days are really tough to navigate.
I am so sorry. Listen, I have to put this in so we can laugh a little bit. Grief is what West Indies supporters are going through for watching the West Indies lose eight matches in a row. All right, Texter, thanks so much for that, you know, interjection. Well, let's get back to the questions here inside Mind Matters. What are the different types of grief?
Well, I want to begin by saying, first of all, that we tend to think about grief as losing a person, that experience that we have after someone has died. But we can experience grief through the loss of a relationship with someone. We can grieve the loss of a pet. We can grieve the loss of something that had value to us, even our material possessions like a house or a car. We could grieve the loss of a job, or an opportunity or something that we were aspiring to that we can no longer have. We could grieve a role. So if you leave a job, you may grieve that role, or if you retire, you know, the role of being an employee or the role of being a spouse or a mother if you lose someone in your family. You can even grieve the loss of your health, your independence, your youth, especially if you're dealing with illnesses and ailments. So it's you can grieve anything that feels like a sense of loss. But there are also some specific types of grief. You know, so there's traumatic grief. And we have to acknowledge that in Trinidad and Tobago, there's a lot of trauma associated with loss. And traumatic grief is when a loss is not only painful, but it's deeply shocking, very disturbing, and it almost shifts our whole worldview. And it can really shake your sense of safety and trust and your sense of reality. There's also anticipatory grief. You know, this is one where the loss hasn't actually happened, but you are anticipating an impending death or a loss that is yet to come, or you know that this relationship is ending, or you know that your pet has to be put down. And so you can be grieving in anticipation of that loss. There's one that we don't talk about a lot, which is disenfranchised grief. And so that's kind of where the person's grief is not really recognized or validated by society. So, for example, if you may be in a relationship that's secret, or it's a taboo relationship, or you've walked away from a job, you've chosen to leave, and you still feel those feelings of grief, but others don't recognize that, or you don't have permission to feel those feelings. That's a special kind of grief called disenfranchised grief. There's also inhibited grief where people may suppress their feelings and they may show no outward signs of the distress. So it may be masked, and you might hear a person saying a lot, "I'm fine, it's okay." Or you may have delayed grief where the symptoms don't show up until months or even years after the loss. There's also abbreviated grief. And we live in a society where we think grief has to look a particular way. And so sometimes some people grieve for very short periods of time, and that could be for a number of reasons. Maybe they weren't very close to the person, or their relationship was very complex. Maybe they prepared a lot before the loss happened. Maybe that emotional void they feel has been filled in some other way, so their grief process is quite short. And sometimes people may not approve. They might say, "How come you move on so fast?" And so that's another form of grief. And then we've been talking a lot about what the individual experience of grief is, but as a community, it's also possible to experience collective grief. And collective grief is a loss that impacts a whole community. And when we think about experiences like the coup, I know we're in July and there's been a lot of conversations around the 1990 experience. But the coup, where there were lives that were lost, if a nation's leader, for example, dies, or when we think of in the United States and there was a 9/11, or we think about some of the wars that are happening in other parts of the world, there is an experience of a collective grief. And that can be quite a validating experience sometimes when people know that there are others who feel this loss just like them.
And how can someone cope and heal from grief?
Well, again, because everybody's experience is so different, everyone has different ways that work for them. And so there's no cookie cut method. But if you feel you are in distress and you're grieving and you have to cry, cry. Allow yourself to feel all the feelings. There is no shame or weakness in being able to be vulnerable and confront your feelings. In fact, that's a sign of strength and courage that you're able to really allow yourself and give yourself permission to be vulnerable. Feel all the feelings, express your feelings. Some people like to talk, some people prefer to write, some people might craft or do some activity that helps them to get their feelings out. Whatever it is, give yourself permission to feel all the feelings. If you need to wallow a bit in those feelings, do so. But always commit to moving forward. It doesn't mean that you'll forget the person or that you leave them behind in some way, but it means that you are committed to finding a way to continue living your life around the memory and around the loss. Sometimes finding things that help you to feel better. And a lot of people feel guilty about engaging in self-caring activities. They may think that if they heal and if they move on, that somehow they're moving on from the person or the thing that they lost. But it's about finding healthy ways to move forward with your life. So whatever fills your cup up, whether it's through distraction activities to kind of take your mind away from it and focus on something else, or if there's self-soothing things. Some people like to listen to music, some people like to take care of their bodies. They like to engage in, go out and engage in nature, go to the beach, do a hike, go to a waterfall. Sensory activities that really engage your senses and help to ground you and reset your nervous system. When you've been through grief or trauma or stress of any kind, your nervous system gets dysregulated. And finding things that really help to reset you and give you that sense of balance again is important in helping you to move forward. Connecting with other persons who are supportive. And notice I said who are supportive, because sometimes then we might reach out to persons in our circle, and in with good intentions, some persons' comments can be insensitive. You know, you have to move on now. You know, it's time for you to forget that. How long you're going to be sitting in that hole, you know, and it is good intentions. They want you to feel better, but sometimes those comments aren't always compassionate. So really connecting with people who you feel can give you that sense of support and give space and hold space for you to express your feelings without judgment. Another way of healing from grief involves looking for meaning in the loss. And what I mean by that is, every difficult experience has the opportunity to build character. And there are lessons to be learned from it, meaning to be derived. You might look back on the person or the experience that you lost, and you might be able to say, you know what, this is something positive I remember. This is something that I learned from this experience about myself, or about how I cope, or something that I admire in that person that I want to take forward with me. You know, we talk about legacy a lot when we lose someone or something. And a wonderful way to honor the memory of the deceased is, you know, to carry forward with some of the positive things that they would have done or lessons that they would have taught you, you know, and that's another way to cope with grief. We honor the legacy of the person who has passed and finding meaning in that loss. And then, of course, when it becomes too much and some people need that extra support to take them to the next level of their healing, seeking counseling or therapy is another way that people can cope and look for healing through that grief experience.
As you're talking, we have some messages coming in at 3061065. And this one says, I'm still grieving the loss of my daughter 32 years ago, but life has to go on. But you would not forget she was 18 years old, so it's not easy. Now, that segues into the next question that we have. When should a grieving person seek professional help?
So at the beginning, we talked about what is grief, and it's that initial intense feeling after a loss. And the normal progression of grief is that eventually, usually within that first year for adults, some of those feelings tend to neutralize, normalize, and it becomes a little easier to move forward with your everyday life, and we start to move to a place of acceptance. And you know, it might take longer for some people, and that is okay as well. But if those initial intense and really acute crisis feelings become severely long in duration, so we're seeing that it's lasting more than a year or more than a couple of years, we're seeing that those symptoms of those early experiences of grief are present almost every day, and it's impacting your ability to function on a day-to-day basis in important areas of your life, like your social life, your job, in your personal relationships. You know, you're finding that you can't get out of bed. You are finding that you're constantly having those thoughts playing over and over. You're preoccupied with thoughts and memories of the person or the thing that you lost, or the circumstances around the loss. You find that maybe you are having violent outbursts. And it's normal to have some irritability and anger and resentment in the early stages of grief. But if that becomes violent outbursts, if you're seeing that you're starting to rely on other things to help you cope, which are unhealthy, so you might see substance abuse beginning, or it starts to increase over time. If you're feeling that you don't have a sense of identity, you feel like part of yourself died and you don't know who you are anymore. If you're finding yourself feeling intense feelings of guilt, your confidence or your self-esteem seems completely gone. if you're having hallucinations of the deceased, you know, so you feel like you're seeing them or hearing them speaking to you. If there are any suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts, so if you're thinking of harming yourself or harming someone else because of the distress that you're in. If you're still, after a prolonged period of time, struggling to come to terms, you're still in a sense of disbelief that this happened. If you're finding that it's so difficult to, anything that reminds you of the person or the thing that you've lost, you're going out of your way to avoid those reminders. These are some of the signs that you need to pay attention to in terms of looking for additional help. If you're feeling things in your body too. So we mentioned that grief can be felt physically. So you find that, you know, you're having, your blood pressure is constantly high. Some of your other vitals are out of sync. You're having stomach distress, nausea, intense aches and pains. Then these are things to put up, to you know, notice a little bit more. If you're seeing that you're becoming numb and very detached, you know, and you feel like life is meaningless, you don't care to look after yourself, you don't want to socialize, you don't want to go out, you don't want to see anybody. The things that you used to enjoy before, you feel like, you know, you just don't want to do any of those things anymore. These are telltale signs that you should not ignore if they come about after a significant period after the loss. And this is where you should seek professional assistance.
And how does therapy help a person to heal from grief?
So like the caller said in the message, it, you know, grief, it doesn't go away. But in the same way, therapy doesn't erase grief. But what it does, it really helps you to carry it better, to understand the experience of loss, and eventually live with it in a more integrated way. So, you know, after you've experienced a loss and when you're going through that grief process, things can feel very, very chaotic. And so therapy really gives you a space to tell the story of your loss in ways that feel safe, and to a person who will hold space for that and listen to what you have to say without judgment. You know, they will validate your emotions, and they'll also give you a space to feel what you feel without the pressure of having to move on. It will give you a space to process your experiences at a pace that is comfortable to you. It helps you to make sense of your emotions, like guilt, anger, regret, confusion. Sometimes when people are grieving, these emotions are confusing in and of itself. You know, people think that grief only feels like sadness. And they may be confused when they find themselves feeling angry or guilty, especially if they have nothing to feel guilty about. So therapy helps you to process and make sense of that. It helps you to say the things that you never got to say to the person, or the things that you feel you don't have permission to say around your family or friends. It helps you to explore how the loss has changed you. Loss changes your life. And so therapy helps you to process that and to reconnect with your values, your purpose, to find out about parts of your life that you still care about. You know, even though the loss has changed you, there are other parts of your life that continue to go on. So it helps you to find a way to reconnect with that, helps you to honor the person or whatever was lost in a meaningful way. It also helps you to get more self-awareness. So therapy can help you understand what are the things that trigger your grief. And it can help you to identify the techniques that will help you to ground yourself, to soothe you, you know, to develop any rituals or routines that will help you to calm yourself when you feel overwhelmed. And it could really help you to reclaim that sense of safety and identity after loss. Especially if you're dealing with traumatic loss. As I mentioned before, when you've gone through something that is so distressing, so shocking, and so intensely painful, it could really shake your sense of personal safety and the sense of safety in the world your sense of trust in others. And so in it, aside from dealing with the loss itself, therapy can really work at the core of your sense of safety and trust. And so really therapy helps you to transition healthily, to be able to face acceptance, to reshape the story of your life after loss, and to really learn how to live alongside the pain so that you're not consumed by it.
And do you have any other tips for persons who are dealing with grief and may not be able to seek it to a professional for help? Are there like tips or things that they can do?
Well, know what helps you to ground and center yourself. You know, in your everyday life, there may be those things that, you know, when you're feeling down, you know that this is something that you can do to pick yourself up. And it may be people in your life that you can lean into. It might be your faith, you know, and our society is one that is still heavily rooted in faith and spirituality. So a lot of people find comfort and resilience through their faith. So you may lean into that. It may be things that you can do on an everyday basis that help you to just find a routine. Sometimes you just have to get up and do things that just, you know, you don't feel like doing it. Your whole life feels like it's been turned over, but you get up and go because you have to. You know, other people are depending on you, or, you know, you have to go to work, you know, and so you just start. You start with one thing, you know, one foot in front of the other, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, you know, and give yourself permission to feel. One of the most unhelpful things that we can do when we are in distress is to suppress our feelings. And many times we're afraid that if we allow ourselves to feel, that we won't be able to recover from it. Or the obligations that we have to fulfill will fall to the sidelines if we were to allow ourselves to just feel what we're feeling. But the long-term consequences of suppressing your emotions can be very detrimental. You know, the more you suppress, the less space you have to be able to focus, to concentrate on the things that matter. You know, your emotional space is being taken up. You become very stressed. There's the opportunity for the worsening of those symptoms and the development of mental health disorders that are more serious. So really just give yourself permission to feel what you have to feel, even if it is in private, if you don't have someone that you can rely on. But once you feel that, always look to how I can make it out. You know, Rumi said, the wound is the place where the light enters you. And so we have to do the things that don't allow the wound to fester, but look forward to how we can transform from the experience that we've had. And so I would say for persons who can't, you know, afford therapy, there are also public service options too that you can explore. You know, there's the website through the Ministry of Health, Find Care TT, where persons can look at the public service options that they can access professional assistance. And other than that, you know, there's always something that you can do. There's always a solution. You just have to choose. And the, you know, our choices determine our destinations. And so making the choice towards healing is important.
Miss Ali, thank you so much for being with us today inside Mind Matters. And that was Miss Vandana Siu Sankar Ali. Thank you so much for giving us those tips. And let's hope that it actually helps someone today.
You're welcome.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.